Feast of Pentecost is written in Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And as they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar, they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the people of the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is written in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. The words that you hear, and the word that you hear is teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the Feast of Pentecost is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Thus far the text. Sinful, fallen flesh is very good at one thing. The siren gives witness to it. Taking that which is good and corrupting it into something that is bad. It's a fallen world. You will have that amidst you. It's done all of the time. It explains much of the misery that you see all around you and within you. Struggles you must endure, and even death itself. For death is the wages of sin, and sin is the corruption of what God made perfect. For example, language. Language is a gift of God. Humans originally created in God's perfect image were equipped with ears and mouths so that they could communicate by words. Words are powerful, especially God's word. It is through the word that God created all things, saying, "Let there be." And there was. But what do you do with these marvelous gifts of ears and mouths? Instead of attentively clinging to the Word of God, your sinful flesh, having lost that once perfect image, opens its ears to gossip. It opens its mouth to spread that gossip and possible hatred and hurtful words, and creates its own form of corruption. Instead of using the brains and capacity to learn to be creative to God's glory, guided by God's word, fallen flesh builds towers of rebellion, monuments to the self, just like the Tower of Babel. Man says to himself and to each other, "Oh, look at how smart man is. We can destroy millions of defenseless babies. All for the sake of science. But the ends justify the means. So it's okay in our thinking. A majority of society is behind it, so that must make it right." Sinful man takes the gifts of creativity and creates entertainments that very easily take the place of preaching and administrating God's word and sacraments. There's better things to do, more entertaining than going to church. And before you know it, the Word of God is choked out of your life. When God confused your tongues to humble you, there was the added complication that it divided people into tribes, unable to peacefully communicate with one another. Different languages mean different cultures, and to sinful people that means hatred, war, coveting, ethnic strife, and the frustration of not being able to communicate. How many Americans become resentful when they are offered their services in Spanish? Or when the voice at the other end of the phone has an Indian accent? How dare they? They should speak like me. How many wars have been started because something was lost in translation? There are consequences for not listening to God's Word. Consequences kind of like having to toil the earth for the rest of your life, or having pain in childbirth. God gives you ears and a voice, and what do you do with them? Your old nature simply uses them for your advantage and not to His glory. So He, being a just God, who wants you to realize how you can be of one voice, He confuses your languages until He unconfuses them with His very own Word. All of that, dear friends, reveals the good news of the miracle of Pentecost. The curse of Babel is overcome by the blessing of the Holy Spirit's descent upon the church. The refusal of man to scatter and populate the world is overcome by the obedience of the church to go and make disciples of all nations. The old tribal feuds and nationalistic pride have been overcome by God creating one holy Catholic and apostolic church, knowing no race or tribe or tongue, a true unity, one body under the headship of Christ. If anyone loves me, says your Lord, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That word is accessible to Jews and Greeks, to Romans and barbarians, to tribes and Englishmen alike, all of them eventually saying, just as they did at Pentecost, we hear them telling in our own tongues of the mighty works of God. The Lord makes his home in palaces and mud huts, in tents and igloos, in mansions and in shanties. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwells in the hearts of those who believe the Word of God, who confess the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, regardless of the language of that confession. This is the same confession that has been taught to these catechumens who will shortly become confirmands. They were born with confused tongues, just like the rest of you. But God gave them and you a new identity, a new heart, a new language, a new song. He baptized them and you into himself by the power of his unifying word. And now they have learned, at least at one point, just like the rest of you, the six chief parts of the Christian faith. More catechesis is to come. More catechesis, that's teaching. More teaching is ever needed for all believers until you are fully sainted and become all-knowing. It's all a matter of God giving you his language of unity through his holy word. Your Lord speaks. He speaks to you in this troubled yet plagued world of wars and feuds. And what does he have to say? What does that word of God, unifying word of God, have to say? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You are not to be divided by tribe, tongue, nor race and culture, but rather you are to offer thanks and praise to God among every tribe, tongue, race, and culture. And he brings you to do this because of what he has done for you, because of what he has finished for you through the atoning sacrifice of Christ Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who has made satisfaction for the sins of the world. He is the source and true lasting peace, eternal peace between God and man, and from him between all of mankind. His is the peace of forgiveness, the peace of the blood of Christ cries out to the builders of Babel, for the builders of bombs, and the builders of those who create hatred among their neighbor. His one word fells the evil foe through his atoning merits for you. Is the peace of God that passes all understanding poured upon you in the gracious waters of holy baptism, pronounced upon you in the life-giving words of holy absolution, proclaimed to you through the word at the lectern and from the pulpit, and fed to you in the mystery of the Lord's forgiving, unifying, real presence in the sacrament of the altar. Pentecost is the Holy Spirit's bridge to the world and sinful flesh's lack of understanding. Pentecost is the Holy Spirit's bridge over the barrier of language between God and mankind, the bridge between all of mankind. In burning flames of purification and divine love, the Holy Spirit came to bring you the peace won for you by the Prince of Peace, who promises. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. For indeed the Son has gone to the Father, and he has sent his Spirit to convict the world concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. And in that conviction stands the crucifixion of the Lord, calling the world to repentance and belief, pointing the world to the atoning blood of Christ for forgiveness, life, and salvation, and justifying, that is, declaring not guilty and righteous those brought to trust in the atoning merits of Christ alone. This is God receiving you back as a perfect image, Christ's righteousness, by faith alone. And friends, Pentecost is not just the 50th day after Easter. Pentecost is not another historical event recorded in an old book. Nor is Pentecost something as shallow as seeking out spiritual gifts, real or imagined, just to puff oneself up. Pentecost is the ongoing presence of God's Holy Spirit in His church, where proper proclamation of the gospel and right administration of the sacraments take place through her. Pentecost continues to bring God's people His unifying language, bringing you to have a mighty confession of faith, because a mighty fortress is your God. And take they your life, good, fame, child, and wife, though these all be gone, your atoning victory has been won. The kingdom yours remaineth. Although being constrained within fallen flesh, you are still adept at corrupting that which is good. The Lord Himself is far more abounding in mercy to redeem that which is corrupted. The proof. Nothing need more said. Although death is the wages of sin, life is the wages of His atoning merits for you. And only by the Holy Spirit will the church continue in this pure proclamation and confession until the Lord returns. He forever gives you catechumens, and you, beloved saints, He continues to give you His unifying voice, and He does it by way of word and sacraments, forever pointing you to the peace of Christ's atoning sacrifice for you. And receiving His unifying voice through His means of grace, the church's voice of faith, shall ever cry out, O Lord,